Take me where the promises are real.
Everybody, I'm Julianna Holick.
Hi, Julie.
Welcome to the Monday Night Blue Chip Speakers Meeting on NABA Zoom, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story. As this reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, each individual in our personal stories describes in our own language and from our own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in the NABA Zoom room tonight and listening later on aabluechipspeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear tonight's speaker and believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too, I must have this thing. I'm going to turn this over to our speaker's sponsor tonight, but I do want to say the pandemic has given us some strange, you know, ways of seeing the positive and some gifts as well. And really, Jenny has been a true pandemic present to me, and I've enjoyed meeting her and knowing her and having her in my life. So with that, I will give you Mitzi.
My name is Mitzi, and I am an alcoholic, and I'm very grateful that Jenny has allowed me to walk along this path with her a little over a year now. And, you know, I think back on my early time. I got sober in Atlanta in 1982, and I had so much. I mean, I had inpatient and outpatient and Mar halfway house, and I had so much support. And I think of Jenny doing this year, not only with a, you know, just wonderful global pandemic coming after just a couple of months in the process for her, but I don't know how many of you know that her job involved getting supplies for healthcare professionals like me. And so talk about one of the most stressful jobs to have during everything else going crazy. So I think it is very safe to say that, you know, I've always heard nothing you can say will get anybody drunk, and really nothing you can say will get them sober. And the bottom line is, if they want it and they, you know, take hold of these spiritual tools, we are here and they can join us. And Jenny has certainly done that. I'm very grateful to be allowed to introduce her tonight. And with that, I give you Jenny.
Thank you all very much. Thank y'all for reading, and thanks to my Fayetteville peeps for being here. When Tim asked me to speak, I think I pretty much just froze in time. I was like, really? What in the heck can I offer anybody? And I told him I would think about it, and I actually did the next right thing and talked to my sponsor about it, and she told me that what I needed to do was pray about it. And that I would never know if something I said might help somebody. So I took her advice and I did pray about it. And I told Tim yes. So she also told me that before I started the night to say a prayer, which I did. So here goes. My name is Jenny Margaret Williams Johnson Dukin Lambert O'Donnell Halleck. And I am an alcoholic. And obviously a person that has had some serious relationship issues in the past. Some of you young folks probably don't know who Elizabeth Taylor is, but she ain't got nothing on me. So there you have it. I was raised with three older siblings, the sweetest mom in the world, and a very, very abusive father, verbally and physically. I can't think of many adjectives that he didn't use, but stupid, ignorant, ugly, bitch, you know, those were pretty common adjectives he used when he talked to me. And I pretty much began to believe those things that he said. I developed a pretty bad self-esteem, a defect that I'm continuing to work on, and a people pleaser was born of this. I didn't know it early on, but my mom did drink, and she would hide her beer around the house in different closets. My dad was in a really bad wreck when I was 2, and the person that hit him was a drunk driver. So he really hated alcohol. And if he suspected that my mother was drinking, he would go in search of her stash, and then all hell would break loose. So I did pick up a couple of skills from that. Lie and hide what you drink. So in 1979, I got my first new last name, and that was a married Bob. He was my high school sweetheart. He worked every day and every night, so I befriended a couple that lived across the apartment from us, and they liked to play canasta. So pretty much every night of the week, I went over there and we played cards. But the deal was they liked to have beer and wine when they played cards. So that was kind of how I got introduced to alcohol. And I guess that's where my journey really started. In 1984, my mom had a very major surgery. She had had problems with her kidneys and blood pressure and congestive heart failure. And unbeknown to us, she 42 days later, she wouldn't survive it. And it was decided to take her off life support. And my dad and my sister were going back to Dunn, which is where we're from, and get a change of clothes and take care of what business. So my brother George and I, kind of drew the short straw that weekend, and it was our turn to stay with Mom. And I really didn't want to. I didn't want to see her die. Hopefully it not on my watch, but anyway, that was not God's plan. So I was with her, and I ended up being a little bit stronger than I thought. And so George and I sat in the room with Mom, waiting for my sister and my dad to get back the 2 hours that it took them to drive, and they did not know she had died. So I drove us home that evening from the hospital, and I'm not sure who brought the bottle, but by God, I was certainly grateful for it. Me and my siblings would go out and get us a couple of drinks, and I think I just pretty much drank my way through those days until we finally got her buried. And then I started having really bad dreams. I would dream about her struggling to breathe, and I would drink even more to try to block that out. And I loved alcohol because it would help me forget, but it only helped me forget until the next day. So anyway, I changed jobs in 1983 and got up with the popular group at the plant that liked to go out drinking on Friday nights. So I joined that crew, and Friday night started turning into Monday through Thursday nights. And I met this gentleman named Bill, who was 30 years older than me. And he loved to party, and he had the money to back it up. So in 1984, I left Bob for Bill. I could probably pretty much make any drink you can imagine. I could have been an excellent bartender from memory. And at that time, I had started taking Xanax. And I took it to help me get through the day when I could not drink. So, and another reason too, I felt like I had to get married, have 2.5 kids and a dog and a cat. And I've known since I was very young playing basketball that I was not quite like all the other girls and that I was gay. So, I got really close to one of the girls that hung out and drank with us, and we were partying at the house one night, and Bill went out to put something on the grill. I can't remember what, probably a pork tenderloin. And anyway, Gail took it upon herself to kiss me. And as the saying goes, the rest is history. So here comes another name. I divorced Bill and moved in with Gail. So we talked about my drinking and my pill taking, and I decided that I would try AA. I do not have a clue how I stayed sober for 10 to 12 years, but it was definitely not by following the 12 steps of AA. I followed my own steps. I do know that I read some of the big book, but I did not even stay in the program long enough to know that there was a 12 and 12. So, and of course, at some point I thought, well, I'm a normal person. I can do this. So I decided I would drink again. And as pretty much any alcoholic knows, we just can't safely do that. So when I started back, it just got worse, just worse and worse. So is Tinsley here? Yeah, Tinsley gave me permission to share something I'm about to share. But anyway, one night we were partying with a group of friends, and some of us were outside, some of us were inside, and my brothers used to drag me along with them, probably because they had to, on their adventures. And, you know, guys have it pretty easy that they can just, you know, if they have to pee, they pee. Girls have to take a little bit different route, but I learned how to do that quite adequately. So that night I switched from beer to liquor, and it went from bad to ugly. And so when I decided to pee, I did. And it's like I told Tinsley, I wish I could say that I shot a bottle rocket out of my ass, but I did not shoot a bottle rocket out of my ass. I wish it was, but I will leave it to your imagination what I did shoot out. So that was not one of my proudest moments, needless to say. But and my poor wife just got told this yesterday because I wanted to make sure she knew it before I shared it with the world. And she took it pretty well. So after 18 years, Gail and I broke up. That's probably the longest relationship I've ever been in at that point. But this time I hooked up with somebody that was 22 years younger than me. We did pretty good the first year, and she told me that the only thing that would truly make her happy was to have a child. Now, mind you, I was in my 50s, but I wanted to make her happy. So we did in vitro, we did an artificial insemination, you know, just thousands of dollars later, she got pregnant. And she really wanted me to quit drinking, and you know, I might say, yeah, okay, but I didn't. And then after Riley was born, I still wouldn't give it up. So I'm coming into my last relationship now, so one I'm hoping sticks. So Heather lost her job because of a perceived relationship I was having at work with somebody else. She brought it to work. And so she decided she'd move back to Boston with Riley and to live with her parents. And I really didn't blame her. I have to say that my child is the sweetest thing in the world. She's 9 years old, redhead, sweet, smart child, very, very loving. And I really miss her more than words can say. But we FaceTime a lot, and I call her on my way to work in the mornings. I carry a whole lot of guilt about that mess that I caused with that situation. But you live and you learn, and I'm actually on my last name now, so that's good. So in 2008, my sister's oldest son, Michael, who had suffered a lot of years from mental illness and had tried to commit suicide a couple of times with pills, succeeded with a rifle. He went to his brother's house to commit suicide, and we all just figured he did it so he wouldn't mess up Lynn and Kenneth's house. And needless to say, we were all devastated. But during the years after that, me and Joe, that was his brother, bless his heart, he looked just He looked just like me, blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, he was just such a sweet, loving kid. And we used to like to go golfing and drinking and cooking and drinking. And my other nephew, Daniel, he was also in there. And we just loved each other and loved to have a good time. And then in 2015, the unimaginable happened when Joe also committed suicide. And his death hit me really hard. This kid loved me so much that he took me to see the New England Patriots play the Carolina Panthers. He bought us tickets. He flew us there. He paid for everything. So, you know, that was one of my last big memories with him. But at this point, I had lost my parents. I've lost those two kids. I lost my child. I felt like my grandparents, all that I had left were my siblings, and I'm grateful for that. But my drinking picked up even worse. And I have really come to think that I was really trying to kill myself, but to do it with alcohol. I guess I just felt that would have been different than putting a gun to my head. But anyway, there's a story in the big book. I got to read it. I've not been in the program long enough to quote like some of you folks are so good at, so I'm going to have to read it. It comes from the big book on page 352. It's one of the stories in the back of the book. There comes a time when you don't want to live and you're afraid to die. Some crisis brings you to a point of deciding to do something about your drinking problem, to try anything. Help you once continually rejected, suggestions once turned away, or finally accepted in desperation. So on January 10th, 2020, that was my last drunk and my last drink. I woke up the morning after, and I don't think I've ever felt worse in my whole life. I do remember who was at the house that night. Not my house. We were at a friend's house. And I know I ate, but I couldn't tell you what I did eat. But when I did wake up, I knew I was an alcoholic, and I needed AA. And gratefully, my wife, Vera, was very supportive, and she helped me look up an AA meeting, which was not too far from the house. And it was at a church called Holy Trinity, and that was where I went to my first meeting. I was scared, and it had not been for this lady out there walking her dog, I probably would have never gotten out of the car. But as it turns out, that lady was Mitzi, who has now become my sponsor. So I'm really thankful that I went in. So since going to that meeting and coming in and going into the fellowship there and another meeting I used to go to here, German Street, I feel like my life has improved just dramatically. I love my Fayetteville AA family, and we tried to do Zoom for a while, but we just didn't have quite enough participation. And with the pandemic, pretty much everything moved to online. And I continued to go, but the really cool thing was that Mitzi, as she said earlier, she became sober in Atlanta, and her cousin Dave, who read The Promises, he also became sober in Atlanta. And that led me to NAVA. And there were many days that I've come to at least two or three meetings for sure, I think. I cannot even begin to describe the support that I have received from this group. And I will always treasure you people in this room. Sorry. One day I hope to get to Atlanta and to NABA and to catch up all of these hugs I've missed, because there's a whole bunch of me I'd love to hug just really hard. But listening to everyone share their experience, strength, and hope, and I've developed friendships even over long distance and Zoom, it's begun to help me deal with the mountain of guilt and the shame about my past. Working the steps was also an important part of my first year, and I had a lot of amends to make, and that was a pretty critical conversation I had with Mitzi. Working step 9, making direct amends to such people wherever possible, has begun to help relieve some of that guilt. I involved 2 good men. When I knew I was gay, I agreed to have a child and wouldn't give up drinking for that, and I wouldn't quit drinking for her mom. So anyway, I'm just really glad that, I have the 12 steps, and they're helping me learn to correct these defects of character and also helping to remove the obsession to drink. I believe I've always been spiritual, but with the big book prayers and, you know, reading the literature and the 12 and 12 and meditation and coming to meetings, it's been a really wonderful journey. And I know it's one I have to work on every day. I'm really, really grateful that my wife continues to encourage me daily, and she is so glad that I finally stopped drinking. And as Tim mentioned, I only have about 13 months, but I would like to think that I've come, you know, a good ways. I know it's a lifetime commitment, so I'll always have to work on it. This won't ever just go away like a cold. It's the allergy or what the disease of alcoholism. And I think I finally learned how to make a relationship last, trying to be open and honest. I think this will be my last name. My higher power has looked after me for years and years. And all the times that I thought he had turned his back on me, I had turned mine on him. It's unbelievable the times that I drove drunk and, you know, didn't get in a wreck, didn't get stopped, no drinking incidents at work. I know I don't have as many years to go as have already passed, but surely I hope one day I'll be able to help another alcoholic. I hope. I love life, and I love the beauty of everything, everyday things, birds, flowers, trees, goose on a pond. I just love life and being sober. So there's 2 more I've got to read. I'm sorry. I'll quote them one day. This is from As Bill Sees It. I just know that you're expected at some point to do more than carry the message of AA to other alcoholics. In AA, we aim not only for sobriety. We try again to become citizens of the world that we rejected and of the world that once rejected us. This is the ultimate demonstration towards which 12-step work is the first but not the final step. And I'm not sure where this came from, because what I do is, as I've shown you all a million times, I do sticky notes. And this is on a sticky note on my computer monitor. And I don't know if it's from the big book or the 12 and 12, but it reads, "When I'm willing to do the next right thing, I am rewarded with an inner peace no amount of liquor could ever provide. If willingness is the key to unlock the gates of hell, it is action that opens those doors so that we may walk freely among the living." So I'm still trying to work on my self-confidence and my people-pleasing, but that, you know, can't teach a old dog new tricks thing kind of gets in my way sometimes. And I know that I will continue to make mistakes, and I know that I will hurt people, but from my heart, my intention will be to lean on my higher power, keep coming to meetings, make amends when I need to, and I hope to become a better person for myself and for others. I know that I would not be here if it was not for AA. As I said, I really do think I was trying to kill myself. And I'm so grateful for this program. And there are just no words to say how grateful I am for y'all. So anyone that might be new attending this meeting tonight, this is something I've heard, and it's true. If you can stick with it, don't leave before the miracle happens. So I don't know how much time I've taken, but I think I'm pretty done, and I thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Jenny. I knew that was going to be fabulous, and it really, really was. It was so wonderful, and I am so impressed because, you know, I barely got one person to marry me. Just barely, barely, and you had to be dragged through the altar. So I'm very, very impressed with that. But we do have time for other people to hop on and tell you how fabulous that was.
I'm sorry, I'm an alcoholic. Jenny, you did a great job. I'm happy to be here. Hey, Misty as well. I'm from Fayetteville, by the way. Thank you for letting me be a part of y'all's meeting. And thank you, Jenny, for sharing.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Jenny. I appreciate your humility. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane.
I was just going to say, Jenny, that's what I see very strongly in listening to your story. But I think that's what I've seen from the very beginning in meeting you, is your humility. And I just have to say this. I love these little hands right here because it looks like you're hugging yourself and hugging all of us. Anyway, I can't wait to meet you in person.
Jenny, thank you so much. I just wanted to say, well, I love the story and we love you so much. And, you know, I feel proud. I mean, but I didn't have anything to do with it, but you have helped people in sobriety. You have helped me with things you've said and shared by showing up. You inspire me. And lastly, just that I believe if a person spends time with someone at their end, that I believe you gave your mom a gift. I really do. And that's all. I just love you. Thanks.
Thank you, Lauren. I didn't mean to cry so much. I'm sorry.
Hey, Jenny, I'm Gary, alcoholic. I love you. You know, I loved you the day I met you. And I'm surprised you don't have Ward as a new last name. I loved you so much. Anyway, I love the story, Jen. And congratulations on that 13 months.
Island. I'm an alcoholic, and I love you, love you, love you. And I knew that you were going to do a fantastic job because you were just yourself, and that's who we fell in love with. So tonight, you just carried that through, and I sincerely thank you. And my second long-term sponsor, Linda, two of the people I love the most. She had been married 8 times. And my friend Cheryl, who was the diva to us doo-dah girls, she had been married 7 or 8 times. And she used to pray, "Dear God, please don't let me drink nor get married." And anyway, I used to tease Linda, and I would tell people, "She's been married so many times, she's got rice marks on her face." But it was a fabulous story, and I love you more than I even did an hour ago. Thank you for sharing yourself with us so beautifully.
Hey, Jenny, I want to thank you as well, and also echo what Lauren said. You have already helped us, and I know you helped me for sure. I mean, I remember I've been doing this for 100 or so days now, and when I came in, I think in one of the very first meetings, you told a story, and I remember, like, you just kept it real, and also you made everybody laugh. And, like, as somebody like me that's gotten sober over Zoom, you know, it's a lot to come into a room and see a bunch of people and you don't know what the hell's going on and that sort of thing. And like, I don't know, you provided that warmth that I needed as a newcomer that just made me feel comfortable to come back and not be like, whoa, what the hell was that? And so, I just want to thank you so much for doing that and for all your shares over the last 3 or 4 months. So thank you.
Hey, I'm John and I'm an alcoholic. Hey, everyone. Hey, Jenny, I just want to thank you so much for sharing your story and experience, strength, and hope tonight. And as a newcomer, like Adam said, I can say for certain that something that you said tonight did help someone. You know, I got a little bit misty-eyed as well during some of your story because it was really authentic and humble. And you were one of the first people that said to me that AA is like family. In the 545 meetings, and I would not be working on my red chip, you know, right now without your help. So thank you so much for helping me to stay sober. I'm really grateful.
You're doing a good job.
Hi, Jenny. Thanks for a fabulous story. My name is Cheryl. I'm an alcoholic. I was married to like 7 or 8 times. I don't want to count the 7th one or the 8th one. Considered that wasn't a marriage. But, you know, when I did my steps, you know, I had to go back and see where my drinking had played a part in those marriages. You know, I would not have gotten married that many of times had I not been drinking, because I wasn't thinking rationally, and I took those guys hostage. You know, I was telling my present husband just the other night, I said, you're the only one who asked me to marry you. I asked the rest of them to marry me. I really like your story, and thanks a lot. When I shared mine, I had a marriage log too. Thank you.
Jenny, I'm Patty. I'm an alcoholic. Hey, sweetie. You are an interesting chick. So much more was revealed about you tonight. Your incredible humility and warmth and humor have helped me so much this year. And I believe you're one of those, you were just born with a knowledge of something that some of us have to work really hard to get to. And you're a fellow nature girl, and I love that about you. And just know, some nights I just like hearing your voice. It's just so sweet and pretty and kind. So love you.
Jenny, thank you very much. You're the great communicator. That's an incredible, has served our group and me personally very well, because you've got that gentleness that the great of a great communicator, and our defects of character, they become our assets. And so, and yes, we did learn a lot of interesting chick stuff. I kind of I gotta get a kick out of you. So anyway, thank you very much.
I was just so grateful Tinsley talking about shooting that bottle rocket out of his ass, because I thought, well, you know, maybe it wasn't a bottle rocket, but it was close enough.
Jenny, thank you so much. This is Tim. I can tell you, all is right, right here, right now. You did a fantastic job, and it couldn't have been better. Thank you.
And it took a ton of courage.
Jenny? I've heard bits and pieces of your story before, but it was very nice to hear it all together. And God, you share such from your heart. I mean, it just warms me over to hear you talk. And you have certainly helped keep me sober over time. I've very much enjoyed talking to you offline, just here and there and yonder. And thank you, Mitzi, for introducing me to Jenny. And you're just a very beautiful person. I love you very much, and thank you for letting me share in tonight. And I really appreciated it. And I loved hearing your story, and you have a hell of a story. You are just great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Hi, Jenny. It's Shanika. I'm an alcoholic, And I just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing your story and having the courage to do so. I've learned so much from you since I've been joining the early morning meeting and this one too. You help so many people. I mean, even in your story, you helped me with a few things that I've been dealing with. So I'm so grateful to be able to hear you speak. Such a gentle giant. And, you know, my mom always said, you know, kindness and meekness will take you a long way. And I used to be like, yeah, whatever. Until I got to AA and came across so many gentle giant women who are happy, joyous, and free. And that's what I want, and that's who I want to be. And thank you so much for showing that to me again tonight.
I'll go. Hi, I'm Julie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Jenny. Oh, my gosh. I just love your story, and you're just so authentic and honest. And I echo what Shanika just said. I just love gentle people, and I need more of that in my life. And so I just love listening to your voice and listening to you share, and you just glow and you sparkle. And I'm just so thankful to know you. So thanks for sharing tonight.
I think that we're almost to the end, and I just want to thank you again, Jenny. I reiterate, you know, you have a quality that I've never had and probably never will have, and that is a quiet kindness to you that is so incredibly attractive.
First I slept and then I crept to a hope-filled dream. You rescued me and finally waking there I see. Look into love's window for a soul that's meant for me. Takes me where the promises are real. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slow, we get just what we need. On a broad highway, stride for stride, we walk eternally. Look into love's window for a heart for me. Takes me where the promises are real. And I always long for something that sets me free. Take me where the promise is.